Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado, it's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you joining the program today. Thanks for tuning in. Here are the rules of engagement. If you want to send a message to the program, you can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Use a message app. On your message app, the number is 33103, 33103. Use the keyword Mike or Michael, and you can TMA, tell me anything, or AMA, ask me anything. And then be sure and follow me on social media, and the best place to do that is on X, formerly Twitter, and it's at Michael Brown USA. I was, speaking of X, it's been a wild week on X because of some controversy going on in Colorado, which I may or may not address later, but there was a post by a friend of mine that caught my attention. He writes for one of the big conservative outfits, and he lives down south, kind of not far from where I live, and he's just a really decent human being raising, you know, he's got a wife and two kids, you know, stereotypical American family. You would just, horrible in a good sense, sense of humor. I can't say enough things. His name's Steven, and I can't say enough good things about him because he's just an all around good guy. And he was, in fact, I'll see if I can't find it real quick, and I'll read it to you. But he was on X, and he posted something that caught my attention, and I thought, what's this about? He wrote this. This is 18 hours ago. My dad died, age 41, waiting for a heart donor. I checked the donor box when I first got my driver's license a few years later, and have checked it again at every renewal and spent almost 40 years urging everyone to do the same. Not, no more. And then he quote posted something else. And so, boy, it caused me to dig in. Because I, too, now I don't have a story to tell about any sort of reason why I'm a donor, other than I just believe that it's the right thing to do. There is, I have a friend of a friend. It's not, I know this individual somewhat, but I wouldn't call him a friend, but he is a friend of a good friend of mine who is, suffering from COPD and a lot of other lung issues. And he's now on the list for a lung transplant, and he's going through all the tests for the lung transplants. And as his friend relates to me, kind of hearsay, I guess, but nonetheless, I take him at his word. All of the tests, everything that they go through to try to determine whether or not, A, he's qualified, two, whether or not the transplant, if and when they find an appropriate donor, is likely to succeed? What can they do in the meantime that might, you know, help him kind of build his body and his strength and his immune system and everything back up so that if and when an appropriate donor comes along, that he indeed will be able to accept a lung and survive. It's excruciating, absolutely excruciating. But I still have my donor check mark on my driver's license. And I do hope, I'm never involved in an accident or anything where that, you know, they start taking my corneas or, you know, my liver or my lungs or my heart or whatever else. But if I am in that situation and I really have died, I emphasize, I really have died, then I want them to harvest my organs. In the movie 28 Years Later, Ralph Fiennes plays a former medical doctor who has occupied himself during the series, you know, I think it's a decades-long rage virus pandemic. He constructs a giant outdoor ossuary. He gathers corpses, the one thing that in this society has in abundance, and then strips them of their flesh and builds towers out of the skulls and the bones. It's his ghoulish way of manifesting the Latin dictum, memento mori, or remember, you must die. Well, there's a lot of that going on. I recently lost a brother-in-law about a month ago. And, you know, I watch my mom, you know, 94 years old, and while I don't expect her to die today, tomorrow, or anytime soon, I do know that she is at the end stage of her life and that she will ultimately die. We will all die. Shocker, right? So there's a lot of death going around. Well, how's this for a New York Times headline? This just blows my mind. Donor organs are too rare. We need a new definition of death. Really? Do we need a new definition of death? I'm not really sure we do, and if we do, I'm not sure this is the definition that I want. This is written by Sandeep Jawar, Chanel Patel, and Deanne Smith. Dr. Jawar is a cardiologist at Northwell Health in New York, where Dr. Patel and Dr. Smith are the directors of the Center for Heart Failure and Transplant. Here's what they write. People die in many ways. But in medicine, there are only two reasons a person can be declared dead. Either the heart has stopped or the brain has ceased to function, even if the heart is still beating. A person may serve as an organ donor only after being declared dead. Parentheses. Until then, transplant surgeons are not allowed even to interact with a dying patient. Close parentheses. This commonsensical rule underpins organ donation in the United States and many other countries. That seems reasonable. You don't want someone in there. You don't want someone, you know, as the doctors who are trying to save your life. Maybe you're in the ER, or you know, you've coded out and you're in your recovery room, and yet all the alarms are going off. So they're in there trying to resuscitate you. So those doctors are trying to save your life. You don't want, and I'm going to be ghoulish here, but you don't want, you know, the other doctor, Dr. Death, in there, who's like, die, die, because I want that heart. Die, die, because I want those kidneys. I want that liver. Oh, I want those corneas. I want whatever. No, you don't want that guy in there. You don't want him anywhere near your room. At least I don't want him anywhere near my room. Now, I might have a do not resuscitate in my living will, but nonetheless, that's after I've been determined to be brain dead. And if I'm brain dead and there is no hope of recovering, well then, yeah, pull the plug and bring the doctors in and take what you can. But until then, I want you to stay out of the room. Unless you're bringing me flowers, unless you're, you know, if I were Catholic, unless you're coming in to do the rosary, but I'm not Catholic, if you're coming in to pray for me, or you're coming in to comfort the family, or maybe you're just coming in to laugh at me, you know, whatever it is, then just stay out of the room. Particularly if you're there because you got the scalpel in hand and you can't wait to take my beating heart. Most donor organs today are obtained after brain death. And that's defined in most state laws as a condition of permanent unconsciousness with no spontaneous breathing, no response to pain, no primitive reflex. In other words, the devastation of the entire brain. The human brain is dead. Now, organs that are obtained that way are often relatively healthy because the brain-dead patients can continue to circulate blood and oxygen. That's why they probably have you intubated. That's probably why they have you on a breathing machine. You know, they're keeping your body circulating with blood. The organs are still functioning, but you're brain dead. But then they write something that, well, interestingly enough, I'm not really sure I believe it. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. If you have any questions or comments, the message line is 33103, keyword MicroMichael. Go follow me on X. It's at Michael Brown USA. Brain death. What a great topic coming up next.
Your child is 18, and suddenly you no longer have legal access to their medical info, even in an emergency. No health decisions, no financial help, nothing, unless you plan ahead. That's why Trust and Will created the Young Adult Plan. It includes HIPAA authorization, healthcare directives, and power of attorney. Everything your child needs to stay protected and stay connected. Go to trustandwill.com and get your Young Adult Plan for just $69, because turning 18 shouldn't mean cutting parents out of the picture. Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. See website for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
If you're stuck in a timeshare you no longer want, call the experts at Lone Star Transfer. They will help you with a guaranteed solution to exit your timeshare. For the past 15 years, Lone Star Transfer, a family-owned company, has helped over 30,000 owners break free. With an A-plus rating at the BBB and thousands of five-star reviews, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you can trust to deliver real results. For a free consultation, call 844-284-4739 or visit LoneStarTransfer.com.
I'm here today with my insurance agent of about 12 years, Kevin Wall from Allstate. He's located at 2861 Churn Creek Road. Now, Kevin, what is it that has made you such a successful insurance office for, what, almost 30 years?
Yes, actually, 28 years, June 1st. And the fact that we genuinely care about our clients and want to do what's best to make sure we take care of their insurance needs.
I remember when my daughter had her accident, and Allstate and your office was right there to help with the claims process.
As I mentioned, we have great staff and customer service. We really do go the extra mile. And with Allstate, if you qualify for the California Good Driver discount, you can most likely get started with as low as 1 month down.
Now, do people have to wait until their renewal to get started?
No, absolutely not. Whether your policy is coming up for renewal now or if you're midterm, it really doesn't matter. We can usually get you covered within about 15 minutes from when you call. Whether it's auto, home, or anything else that needs insured, if you just give us a call or text us, we'd be glad to help you. 530-222-2306.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hey, Redding, say big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. A great meal at a great price. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Be sure to stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner just added 4 brand new and 4 returning classics to the menu. Black Bear Diner, 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. We're talking about a wonderfully fun subject this morning, or this afternoon, depending on where you are. Brain death. Yeah, brain death. Many people claim that I've been brain dead for a long time. And there are days when I think that I'm brain dead. But in this New York Times opinion, they make a statement that is hard to quantify. They write, brain death is rare. In New York State, with a population of 20 million, there are on average fewer than 500 cases suitable for organ procurement and transplantation each year. That may or may not be true. I don't have much of a very viable way to not being a medical doctor myself and not having had the time to really consult any medical doctors, particularly those that are involved in transplants, whether or not that's really true. But whether it's true or not, do we really need to be putzing around with the definition of death? Because there are a lot of unintended consequences in this story, or in this opinion from the New York Times, that makes me a little queasy. Because there is a fine line between a family or a doctor, an institution, group of doctors, whatever, determining that someone is dead, however we're going to define that, and bringing in the organ harvesters. Because what if you come in too soon? And frankly, if you come in too late, the organs are probably worthless because they've been damaged too much because of the lack of circulation, the lack of blood, and lack of oxygen, whether that's been artificially kept pumping through your body or not. They write that far more often, rather than brain death, people die because their heart has permanently stopped beating, which is known as circulatory death. However, precisely because the blood has stopped circulating, the organs from people who die this way are often damaged and unsuited for transplantation. Okay, let's take that at face value. I understand, you know, I didn't do very well in biology, and I have a basic understanding of physiology, and I understand that if my heart stops beating and it permanently stops beating, then those organs are going to be damaged precisely because they lack the oxygen that's carried through the blood to keep those organs alive and healthy. And alive is kind of maybe not the right word, but it keeps those organs functioning. Maybe that's a better word. But on the other hand, at what point do we decide that there is a circulatory death? The way this whole opinion piece is structured, you can tell that they're going to make an argument by the very next paragraph that says, oh yeah, what we've got to do is figure out a way to start using circulatory death as a way to determine that organ transplant is appropriate. They write, the need for donor organs is urgent. An estimated 15 people die in this country every day waiting for a transplant. We need to figure out how to obtain more healthy organs from donors while maintaining strict ethical standards. Boy, there's a lot of stuff packed right there into that short two-sentence paragraph. Yes, I believe that the need for organ donors is great. Now, whether an estimated 15 people die in this country every day waiting for a transplant, that may or may not be true. But whether it's 10, 15, or 100, their conclusion is we've got to figure out a way to get more healthy organ donors while maintaining the ethical standards. What are today's ethical standards? Well, brain death, and you can determine brain death and still keep the organs healthy. Again, as I said, you've got someone intubated. You're still pumping. Their heart is still being forcibly pumped, and the blood and the oxygen carried by that blood and all the nutrients are still being carried through your body, even though you are brain dead. So what's their solution? Oh, new technologies. Oh, maybe artificial intelligence, which I want to talk about later. Maybe artificial intelligence is the way to do this. No, They want to simply broaden the definition of death. Now, they point out, and I think somewhat objectively, how things currently work. They write that in the procedure known as donation after circulatory death, a typical donor is in an irreversible coma from, say, a drug overdose or a massive cerebral hemorrhage, and the heart is beating only because of life support. The donor is still not legally brain dead. He or she might have, say, a gag reflex or other primitive functions. Oh, wait a minute. You've already told me that someone's in an irreversible coma and they've suffered a massive cerebral hemorrhage, which tells me that the brain is probably damaged beyond repair. They may not be technically brain dead, but they're certainly never coming back to life, at least to any life that, as we understand it, where you could, you know, even just lay lay in a bed and your eyes are open and you're watching television or you're listening to this program or you're having a book read to you or you're listening to an audio book. So what they want to do is where someone has been determined to be circulatory dead with the blessings of a family, they say a donor is brought into an operating room and life support is carefully withdrawn. If, as expected, the removal of life support results in stoppage of the heart, surgeons will wait long enough to determine that the stoppage is permanent, to be confident of death, but not so long that vital organs get damaged. This period is typically about 5 minutes, and then the surgeons remove the organs. Now, they're going to argue, and I'll freely tell you what the argument is in just a moment. But I want you to listen to that carefully and tell me in your mind what you find wrong with that. Now, we're talking about someone who has had circulatory death. In those cases, with the blessing of the family, a donor, the person in the bed, is brought into an operating room, and that's where life support is withdrawn. Carefully withdrawn, they add. If, as expected, the removal of life support results in stoppage of the heart, surgeons wait just long enough to determine that the stoppage is permanent, to be confident of death, but not so long that the vital organs get damaged. That is typically about 5 minutes, and then the surgeons remove the organs. What's wrong with that? I've thought through this, and I'm thinking about myself. I could, ironically, I'm going to use the word live. I could live with that. I continue to be an organ donor based upon that. But no, they've got a very specialized argument. They argue that even a few minutes of a stopped heart, we're talking about, now, remember, they were talking about 5 minutes. Typically about 5 minutes to make sure the heart's not restarting on its own. Stoppage is permanent. Then you start to remove the organs. But their argument is that even a few minutes of a stopped heart results in damage to the organs, and that deprives potential recipients of healthy organs and thwarts the wishes of donors to have their organs used to help others. Does it really? Because I want to make damn sure that, you know, if it's my spouse, my son, my daughter, my grandkids, if it's a coworker, I really do want to make sure that they are dead before we harvest the organs. But they've got a new idea, and it expands the definition of death. Makes me uncomfortable. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. What if you could unlock over $1 million in personal and business credit? That's exactly what Ray Reynolds can do for you. I'm talking about protecting your family and building your business with $100,000 in personal or business cash credit. And Ray can help you rebuild your credit score to 750. Ray Reynolds isn't just any expert. He helped the security chief of TRW that became Experian, one of the most trusted credit bureaus. If you're looking to get your finances on track, Ray is the man you should call for a 750 credit score. Call Ray at 800-427-4255.
800-427-5991. 800-427-5991. Join his live webinars and attend his weekly workshops to learn the insider strategies for hitting your personal and business goals. Ready for a 750 credit score and your first $100,000 in credit? Call Ray Reynolds now at 800-427-5991. That's 800-427-5991.
This season, Hunter Roofing is stepping up to the plate. As proud sponsors of Colt 45's baseball, we're cheering on every home run and keeping your home protected. From storm repairs to full replacements, trust the pros who bring quality to every job. Hunter Roofing, where quality meets the sky. Support local, keep your home in winning shape, and root for the Colt 45s. Visit hunterroofing.org today.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. We're talking about death. and organ harvesting because of a post made by a friend of mine on X. By the way, follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. That led me down a rabbit hole of organ donation. And as I go through the text line, apparently I'm not the only one that has questions about this. The reaction from the audience has been pretty interesting. Gubernator 8956 writes, Mike, I'd never be an organ donor. Too many stories out there about greedy docs taking organs before the donor is actually dead, or stories of the same docs holding back life-saving treatment because they want the organs because of the money so much. Or 4679 that writes, for all the amazing advancement that humanity has made over time, we still debate when human life begins, what sex that human life is, and when that human life dies. Or, he goes on, or she goes on to say, need an organ? Simply go to China, where they do random organ harvesting, particularly with minority groups like the Uyghurs, or Muslims, or Christians, or probably people that have low social scores. And you just pick them up, take them, throw them in the back of the van, take them, you know, boom, you got the organ. This one, Gubernator 9798, yep, I used to be an organ donor. But when hospitals denied people from receiving donated organs because they would not get the jab, the COVID shot, I stopped being an organ donor. Now with the finding out that there really isn't such thing as brain dead, and hospitals are deeming people brain dead in order to harvest the organs, that kind of affirms my choice. Oh, then they go on to say there are two places you need to change to no longer be an organ donor. What is it besides my driver's license? I haven't made up my mind about what I'm going to do because I want to study it more. But in this story, they go on to say that they've got the solution. They say it's a relatively new method that can improve the efficacy of donation after circulatory death. In this procedure, which is called normothermic regional perfusion, doctors take an irreversibly comatose donor, which when I read that, I first thought, who determined that that donor was irreversibly comatose? You take them off life support long enough to determine that the heart has stopped beating permanently. But then the donor is placed on a machine that circulates oxygen-rich blood through the body to preserve organ function. Donor organs obtained through this procedure, which is used widely in Europe and increasingly in the United States, tend to be much healthier. So I just asked one of the AI chatbots, what is normothermic regional perfusion? And the answer I get is that it's a technique used in organ transplantation, specifically in cases of donation after circulatory death, where the donor's circulation is stopped. It involves using a machine to pump oxygenated blood through the donor's organs after death has been declared, essentially rewarming and perfusing them to assess their viability and potentially improve their function before removal for transplantation. Now, I have a Juris Doctorate, but I don't have a medical doctorate. So my question about this, and if anybody out there is a doctor, anybody knows, well, why do you have to do this procedure, normal thermic regional perfusion, referred to as NRP, why do you have to do that after the circulatory system stops? Why can't you do it after someone's been determined to be brain dead? When the EKG, or EEG, shows no brain waves at all, that you're technically brain dead. Why can't you do this normothermic regional perfusion after that determination and accomplish the same thing? They write that, but by artificially circulating blood and oxygen, the procedure can reanimate a lifeless heart. Some doctors and ethicists find the procedure objectionable because in reversing the stoppage of the heart, it seems to nullify the reason the donor was declared dead in the first place. Is the donor no longer dead, they wonder? Well, if the heart has been determined to have permanently stopped, and now you're using this machine to restart it, aren't you then wondering, is the brain still dead or not? Or am I conflating the two? You know, you have the circulatory death and you have the brain death. Well, clearly if you have brain death, you're going to have, I would think, circulatory death, unless, of course, you're on a life support system. But if you take someone off the life support system and the brain remains dead, nothing changes, and the circulatory system stops, I'm told that you have, you know, they wait about 5 minutes. Okay, well, maybe you wait 4 minutes or maybe you wait 3 minutes. But if you pull the plug, to put it in the vernacular, if you pull the plug and there is no response, then why can't you use this procedure at that point? Well, that seems the logical thing to do to me, for me to think about, but they want to change it. They want to resolve it by their solution to broaden the definition of brain death to include irreversibly comatose patients on life support. By using this definition, these patients would be legally dead regardless of whether a machine restored the beating of their heart. Well, mate, what am I missing here? Because isn't that kind of what we're doing now? So, you know, I use myself. So I've got a DNR, do not resuscitate. So they've put me on life support, because they've got to get the people that I've authorized to make that determination. They've got to get them in the room and, you know, are you ready to execute the DNR? Are you ready to pull the plug? And, you know, of course, my wife's been ready to pull the plug for a long time. And she says yes. In fact, she says, let me help. Here, I'll pull the plug. What's the difference here? They write that so long as the patient had given informed consent for organ donation, removal could proceed without delay. The ethical debate about normal thermic regional perfusion would be moot, and we would have more organs available for transplantation. Apart from increased organ availability, there's also a philosophical reason for wanting to broaden the definition of brain death, and that is the brain functions that matter most to life are those such as consciousness, memory, intention, and desire. Once those higher brain functions are irreversibly gone, is it not fair to say that a person, as opposed to a body, has ceased to exist? Now they're kind of wandering off into the ether where I'm beginning to question, wait a minute. Because is there a way to measure those brain functions, consciousness, memory, intention, and desire? I don't think technologically we can. I think the way we measure brain death today is, are there any brain waves? Is there any electricity being produced? Are there neurons snapping at all? And if they're not, you're brain dead. But if you start wandering off into, well, he no longer has consciousness. Well, that's kind of iffy sometimes. Memory, intention, desire. And then they point out that, of course, some are going to worry that doctors will prematurely pronounce a patient irreversibly comatose when, in fact, the patient is not or there is genuine hope for recovery. They write, well, that is rare, but it can happen. And when it does, it is a catastrophe. Oh, so let's err on the side of getting the organs as opposed to, well, they might recover. This is where medicine and the ethics of medicine is not keeping up with the technology of medicine. I think organ transplants are an amazing thing. I can remember as a kid reading about Dr. DeBakey and doing that, I think it was in Houston, doing the first, you know, artificial heart transplant. And it's just, you know, doing these things are amazing to me. A lung transplant? Amazing. You know, doing corneas or, you know, retinas or lungs, livers, whatever it might be, simply amazing to me. But nonetheless, I worry that in this society that we are so focused on death, not that there's anything wrong with being focused on death, we ought to all recognize that we are all mortal and we are all going to die at some point. And then that raises all sorts of philosophical and religious and theological questions, but it also raises a lot of serious medical and ethical issues about when is someone dead. And the fact that we can now take a person's organs, who is, air quote here, dead, and transplant them and give that new life to someone else, Okay, got it. But even though we may have, according to these doctors anyway, at least according to the New York Times, that we may be losing out on some transplants that we might otherwise be able to get, shouldn't we be focused on the life side? Shouldn't we be focused on, rather than trying to expand the definition of death, why don't we expand the definition of life? Now, that means that some people may not get transplants. That friend of my friend may not get a transplant. If he had been born 50 years ago, he probably would be getting a transplant anyway. And so if he'd been 100 years ago, he would never, transplant wouldn't even be something that would be, even be in the vernacular of their discussions. I worry anytime. You know, let me just put it this way. Ever since COVID, now I say this having, well, my son, who is a doctor, I would say of my 10 closest friends, 5 of them are doctors, medical doctors. And so I have a real problem nonetheless with the current state of the medical practice in this country. We get lied to about pharmaceuticals. We get marketed about pharmaceuticals. We get all of this push, push, push. And what do? We just capitulate and act like a bunch of sheep. Start expanding the definition of death. I got questions. I'll be right back.
Aloha! Dreaming of sandy beaches and ocean breezes? JTV's Tropical Treasure Sweepstakes could make that dream come true. Enter for your chance to win a fabulous Hawaiian getaway for two with luxury accommodations, airfare, and spending cash. Plus, just for entering, get $30 off your next qualifying JTV purchase of at least $99 when you opt in for emails. Don't miss out. Visit jtv.com/sweeps and enter by August 3rd. JTV, where paradise awaits.
If you're stuck in a timeshare you no longer want, call the experts at Lone Star Transfer. They will help you with a guaranteed solution to exit your timeshare. For the past 15 years, Lone Star Transfer, a family-owned company, has helped over 30,000 owners break free. With an A-plus rating at the BBB and thousands of 5-star reviews, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you can trust to deliver real results. For a free consultation, call 844-284-4739 or visit LoneStarTransfer.com.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Jahnke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1468.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300
a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Kick off your week with straight-up facts. Tune in to KCNR every Monday at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for unbiased reporting, we deliver the real deal on what's happening in our county. Crisp updates and honest discussions that matter. Got a tip? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or DM them at townhallbrief on linktree.com. The Town Hall Brief, your trusted source for local news, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
I'm not quite sure that this question was asked the right way, because the way the question was asked, the answer seems to be pretty clear to me. But if I flip the question a little bit, I think I may get to the heart of what they were really asking. 8944 wrote this, Mike, what if my wife was in need of a kidney? The hospital has a brain-dead donor that's compatible, but they're waiting for circulatory death, which could be weeks. Would I approve of pulling the plug? Well, that's not my call. The way you've asked the question is, it's my wife that's in need of a kidney. She's not the donor. It's the donor's family that makes that decision about whether or not to pull the plug, not me. I can't walk into a hospital room where there's somebody on life support and say, hey, my wife's down the hallway and she needs your son or daughter's kidney. Pull the damn plug. That's not my job. That's not my role. That's completely immoral on my part to make that demand of someone else. But I don't really think that's what you meant. I think you meant in a reverse kind of way that if my wife is in need of a kidney and I know there's someone down there that is waiting on circulatory death, would I be wanting them to pull the plug? Based on today's technology, today's definition, my answer is the same. That's not my call. That's the family's call. And quite honestly, to be even more specific, that's only the family's call. They can talk to one doctor. They can talk to 100 doctors. They can talk to 1,000 doctors. It's still their call. And regardless of what we as a group of goobers together could decide upon, I would hope that we could always agree that it should never be the determination, unless you have a John Doe situation, where you truly have a John Doe situation. There is no next of kin. There's just this soul in a bed somewhere that's on life support, and there is nobody anywhere. I think at that point, the hospital could make a decision. The doctors, both the doctors that are treating the patient, the John Doe, and the doctors who are the transplant doctors and would like to have those lungs, would like to have that heart, then they in consultation can make that decision, because there is not a third party, unless you hand that over to, you know, a group in the a group of other, you know, third party doctors that are not involved in any way with that decision, which might be a good way to do it. But don't let those who have a vest, you know, because those who want to keep John Doe alive have a vested interest in keeping John Doe alive. And those who want John Doe's organs, they have a vested interest. So get a third party out there, a group of doctors that have no vested interest, and let them make that decision. But as long as there's a next of kin, that's the decision maker. Not a hospital, not a doctor, not a group of doctors, but that family. They can prattle on all they want to about their recommendations about is brain dead, not brain dead, circulatory death, not circulatory death. But the main objection I have is that you're taking that decision away from the family. Now, regarding circulatory death and this debate between brain dead and circulatory death, never crossed my mind. Had never crossed my mind whatsoever until this post on X from a friend of mine yesterday that said he was going to unbecome a organ donor. And now, digging into this, it makes me question whether or not I want to be an organ donor. Now, if one of my family members came to me and said they needed a kidney at my age, you want one of my kidneys? Hey, have at it. If it's compatible and you can use it and it's going to help you, it's going to get you off dialysis or whatever, I'll give it to you in a heartbeat. Because I'm just old enough that, you know, hey, I've survived this long. I can survive a little longer without the extra kidney. But good grief. Beware. Beware of the New York Times and beware of the medical profession now coming wanting to expand the definition of death. I'm not saying that ultimately that is not the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do, but my God, do we need a debate about this as a society before we just allow the medical profession to continue to focus on the death aspect? And of course, obviously, there's always the money involved too. Yeah, there's always the money involved. I just want you to be aware of this. And apparently some of you on the text line are already aware. Now, insofar as how you unbecome an organ donor, well, I haven't dug into it that deeply yet, so I don't know. One person said you have to do it one place. You have to do it two places. It's not just your driver's license. You have to do it someplace else. I haven't quite figured out where that is yet, but when I do, I'll certainly tell you. But in the meantime, I'd like to hear your comments on the text line about what you think about this entire issue. Were you aware of it? Are you a donor, not a donor? Has this caused you to decide not to be a donor? Has it at least caused you to think about, oh, wait a minute, always thought that was the right thing to do, but is it? Who knows? I'll see you on the other side of the news.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Having 4 kids in 4 years changed everything, especially our perspective on food.
We started paying closer attention to the things that mattered most, especially the food we were putting on our table.
We wanted better, safer, healthier. And when we couldn't find it, we took matters into our own hands. We started Good Ranchers.
We partner with local farms and ranches right here in the U.S., families who have been raising livestock the right way for generations. Hardworking men and women who care deeply about the land, their animals, and the quality of the food they produce.
We're proud to bring their legacy to your table. 100% American beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood.
And then we make it simple. We deliver it straight to your door.
Because we believe in making it easy for families like ours and yours to enjoy meat you can trust. Food that honors the American farmer. Food that brings people together.
Visit GoodRanchers.com and use code RANCH40 to get $40 off your first order, plus free meat for an entire year.
GoodRanchers.com, American meat delivered.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour, townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The hunt is on today for a man who opened fire in a Montana bar, killing four people. Lee Johnson is administrator of the Montana Division of Criminal Investigation. In his comments airing on NBC Montana, he said the suspect is identified as 45-year-old Michael Paul Brown.
Residents in the area have been notified and are encouraged to stay inside their homes and on high alert. If you see Brown, do not approach him and call 911 immediately.
The American workforce is shifting. Here's correspondent Ron Taylor.
Native-born Americans have gained more than 2 million jobs, accounting for virtually all employment growth this year. The surge is happening as foreign-born employment has declined. That reverses a trend occurring in recent years. According to data released Friday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Native-born Americans added 1.8 million jobs over the past 4 months, while foreign-born workers saw a loss of 1.5 billion jobs. This means that from January to June, all of the net job growth, based on non-seasonally adjusted figures, went to native-born workers. Ron Taylor reporting.
And the U.S. Department of Labor stated that wages are up, investments are pouring into our country, and native-born workers have accounted for all job gains since January. Former California Congressman John Campbell is a Trump supporter, but says he's glad the Fed chose not to lower interest rates this week because a lower rate would hurt those living off of their savings.
And savers are a whole lot of his voters. There are a whole lot of seniors and people who save money and put it back. If he were to get what he wants, a 1 point lowering in interest rates, then basically the income of a whole lot of people who save money will drop by about 25%.
Bristol Motor Speedway ready to make history again by hosting the first Major League Baseball game in Tennessee. The stage or racetrack in this case has been set for today. More from townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-226-5454. That's 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
GOP strategist Aaron McGuire says it's far too early to know who will be selected to carry the Republican Party forward when President Trump's second term comes to a close in 2028.
I anticipate a big primary because, unlike Democrats, Republicans don't anoint anybody to the presidential opportunity to run on the ticket. Republicans won't behave like Democrats and coordinate anybody to be the presidential nominee.
McGuire says some of the contenders, in fact, could come from within the current administration.
I would not be surprised to see a number of these cabinet officials step forward with the MAGA mantle in their names to change and show what they could do with the next generation. And so I think a big primary is what we will see.
Aaron McGuire spoke this week with the Salem Radio Network. An international crew of four that launched into orbit just yesterday has already arrived now at the International Space Station. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Baseball's commissioner says the friendly confines are again set to host the Midsummer Classic.
Rob Manfred made it official and announced Friday that the 2027 All-Star Game will be held at Wrigley Field. The announcement came Friday during a news conference at home plate with Chicago Cubs Chairman Tom Ricketts, Governor J.B. Pritzker, and Mayor Brandon Johnson. Baseball's second oldest ballpark hasn't hosted an All-Star Game since 1990. Wrigley also hosted All-Star Games in 1947 and 1962. Manfred cited the amazing transformation of the ballpark and surrounding streets in the past decade. I'm Geffen Kuhlbaum.
Bristol Motor Speedway ready to make history again by hosting the first Major League Baseball game in Tennessee. The stage, or racetrack in this case, has been set up for tonight for the biggest crowd ever at a regular season baseball game at the MLB Speedway Classic. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com.
Summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
It was essentially accusing them of, quote, committing civilizational suicide. And really directed at Germany and claiming that they were bringing about their own demise. He said this, quote, if you have a country like Germany, excuse me, if you have a country like Germany where you have another few million immigrants coming in from countries that are totally culturally incompatible with Germany, then it doesn't matter what I think about Europe. Germany will have killed itself, and I hope they don't do that, because I love Germany, and I want Germany to thrive. Now, those, you know, I was thinking, I'm writing an editorial for USA Today, and I came up with something about, you know, people have already established, and you can imagine what the subject's about. People have already decided on their own facts, and they've decided what they think about those facts. And so it doesn't make any difference what some people say or how logical you can be, what kind of data you can show them. We live in a world where people make up their own facts, whether there's any truth to those facts or not. That becomes embedded in their brain, and you can't jar it loose. And I think part of that is because, going back to civilizational suicide, we've allowed Marxism to so infuse education in this country that, and one of the tenets of Marxism, of course, you've got to kill religion, but you also have to kill critical thinking. Because Marxism, socialism, communism, fascism cannot survive when people think for themselves. And they certainly can't survive if they have a belief in something higher and more powerful than themselves, and that something is not God, but the government. If you believe in government as being the higher power that can solve all your problems, then that feeds right into Marxism and socialism. I say that because a lot of people, when they heard Vance's remarks, immediately dismissed those remarks as yet just another post-Munich security conference jab. Remember when he was at that security conference shortly after the election, and he talked about how Europe was killing itself? Well, Vance persists that his concerns for Germany were and still are sincere. And he seems to have a point. Because while the United States watches, while you and I watch these developments from afar, the cabal exists in Germany too. And the German mainstream media continues to push the narrative that the country needs 400,000 skilled workers annually. We've got to import these workers from somewhere. Now, that's despite the fact that there are nearly 4 million able-bodied people of working age that already receive benefits. Almost half of that 4 million are non-German citizens. Now, when you include those who have German passports who were born overseas, the number rises to over 64%. So where did it go wrong? Where did it go wrong for Germany on immigration or, to be technically very specific here, refugee policy? It began with something called, in this country, we call it the H-1B visa, a guest worker visa. An H-1B visa, ostensibly, when it, in its original form, was if we needed very specific, very narrowly defined skills. Say we were talking about doctors earlier. You need a very skilled surgeon or researcher in a very particular area, but the only skill set that you can find that a doctor has, that person happens to be in Switzerland or Austria or perhaps Germany. So we would grant them an H-1B visa to come and work in this country because we needed that skill. Well, that's kind of been bastardized since then, but Germany started with the same thing. They called it guest workers. I don't speak German, but it looks like in German, Gastarbeiter, something to that effect. It began with their guest worker program, where they invited them during the post-war economic boom under Chancellor Adenauer and his Minister for Economic Affairs, and a future chancellor, by the way, Erhard. So let's go back to 1955. Starting in 1955, Germany recruited labor from Greece, Italy, Spain, and Turkey. And what began with a mere 300,000 workers in the 1960s ballooned to more than 2.6 million workers by 1973. Then you had the introduction of family reunification, which turned those guests into permanent residents. Now, there were some efforts to curb immigration and tried to encourage return migration as late as the 1990s, but that was met with very little success. And I think it was met with little success because primarily Germans were by, when you think about by the 1990s, we're approaching, you know, Y2K. We're approaching the, you know, 21st century. And we were already seeing wokeism. We were already beginning to see what we call then political correctness. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, we're trying to get these families to, you know, migrate back out of the country. Well, why? Well, because they weren't assimilating. So those efforts to curb immigration and encourage return migration didn't have, well, I shouldn't say didn't have any success, but had very little success. Why? Well, because if you've ever been to Germany, it's a lot nicer place to live than, say, even Turkey. Would you rather live in Munich or Istanbul? Istanbul is a beautiful city to visit. It's a wonderful place to visit. Ankara? No, I don't really want, if you tell me I've got to choose between Turkey or India, for that matter, Turkey or India, and Germany, I'll pick Germany every single day. Now, if broaden my choice, I still want to live in this country. But some people made that choice when they opened up the guest worker program. Do I want to leave Turkey, my home country, and go to Germany? Oh, and I can get all these benefits? Boom. Show me the next plane. Show me the next boat. And I'll show you the next effects. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line 33103, keyword MicroMichael. Go follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. How did this work out? That's next.
Aloha! Dreaming of sandy beaches and ocean breezes? JTV's Tropical Treasure Sweepstakes could make that dream come true. Enter for your chance to win a fabulous Hawaiian getaway for two with luxury accommodations, airfare, and spending cash. Plus, just for entering, get $30 off your next qualifying JTV purchase of at least $99 when you opt in for emails. Don't miss out. Visit jtv.com/sweeps and enter by August 3rd. JTV, where paradise awaits.
If you're stuck in a timeshare you no longer want, call the experts at Lone Star Transfer. They will help you with a guaranteed solution to exit your timeshare. For the past 15 years, Lone Star Transfer, a family-owned company, has helped over 30,000 owners break free. With an A-plus rating at the BBB and thousands of five-star reviews, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you can trust to deliver real results. For a free consultation, call 844-284-4739 or visit LoneStarTransfer.com.
Hey, it's Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. You know, if you want to interact with the program, there's so many different ways to do it. You can, of course, you can always do it the old-fashioned way and send me an email, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. But you can also send me a text message. The message number is 33103, keywords Mike or Michael. You can send me, you can post something. You can at me on X, at Michael Brown USA. So there are lots of ways. All the social media accounts, have at it. Go for it. So let's go back to this kerfuffle that J.D. Vance has caused, which I think is just truth-telling. But, oh, my gosh, we can't tell the truth anymore. Well, fast forward to 2015. Back from the 1990s, or actually back from the 1950s, when Germany really started using the guest worker program. Well, in 2015, Angela Merkel, who was the chancellor at the time, just threw open the floodgates. She's the one that decided to allow the Syrian immigrants to enter Europe. So that resulted in, kind of what we saw in the Biden era. When you announce to the world, either by omission or commission, that the gates are open, and by the way, we're not going to do anything. And in fact, we'll even give you an app. And if you're coming through the Darien Gap through Central America, we'll help you load the app. We'll even give you a damn phone. We had all sorts of NGOs handing out phones and then showing them how to put the CBP1 app on, which would allow them to start, bypassing, anything. Just check in with your app and then they'll get you a hearing date, sometime in the next century. And meanwhile, get on your bus or your plane or wherever and go to Chicago, L.A., go to Denver, wherever, and settle in. And by golly, we'll just throw tax dollars at you. That's feeding the stray cats. And the cats talk among themselves. Well, the Syrians talked among themselves. And they ended up with millions of asylum seekers and economic refugees, if you will, that made their way across Europe. No vetting whatsoever. And then the Syrian civil war came to an end. And guess what? Shocker. None of them wanted to go back home. Even though the Syrian civil war had come to an end, nobody wanted to go home. And a combination of family reunion and lax borders means that those asylum seekers would keep coming in large numbers. Why would you go again? I've never been to Syria. I've never been to Damascus, and I have no desire to go, particularly under current circumstances. But if you've been living in a war-torn country for decades, and suddenly the word spreads among your little village that, if you can just make your way to Germany, not only will they help you find a really nice flat or an apartment or whatever to live in, but, they'll put you on their social welfare system. And if you want to make even more money, yeah, you could probably find a job doing something, but you don't have to. So, of course, they're going to start migrating. And they're all going to be economic refugees. And, of course, they had the Civil War, and that was an even better reason to be a refugee, because you're escaping a civil war. You're escaping, and in Syria in particular, you're escaping that you're being discriminated against, you're being targeted, and there's genocide going on. And Germany just threw the door open. So what were the consequences? Well, you can see them for yourself. It's very easy to see: rising crime rates, violent crime rates. Public schools where students of foreign backgrounds make up 42% of the pupils. Some schools, upwards of 90% are foreign-born. But stop right there for a moment. If you're a German citizen and your child's classroom is almost 50%, in some cases 90%, Syrian refugees, or just foreign, I shouldn't pick on Syrians here, just foreign immigrants to your country, don't speak German, haven't been brought up in the German culture, have no idea about German mores, standards, how you conduct yourself in society or anything, how German law works, how the German constitution works, even German history, including the Nazi history. What's going to happen in the classroom? Those German students are either going to be pushed aside, or, depending on the teacher, the refugee students are going to be pushed aside. Either way, kids don't get educated. Then you have, in addition to that, you have the cultural fragmentation, an overburdened welfare, and an overburdened healthcare system. Even Germany, their once abundant tax revenues, no longer enough. A 172 billion euro budget, that's about 119 billion U.S. dollars, budget hole, a budget deficit. And it gets worsened because they make promises such as special pension for mothers. So meanwhile, the government's floating the idea of a boomer soli, a new tax on big pensions. So if you make more than, if you have a pension of more than the equivalent of about $1,100 a month, yeah, they're going to impose a tax on that. The warning lights are flashing. The government continues to kick the can down the road. All the necessary reforms to the welfare state, to the pension system, to the immigration policies are all endlessly postponed and even ignored. But policymakers, oh, they debate introducing, you know, new quotas in public schools, some of which serve only halal food, and have reportedly abandoned Christmas celebrations in favor of mandatory Ramadan events. Meanwhile, thousands of individuals in Germany are facing lawsuits. Now, you might ask yourself, well, what? Personal injury lawsuits? Defamation lawsuits? What kind of lawsuits are they facing? When you allow that kind of influx of people who don't share your standards, your culture, and even in a melting pot like this country, we were saying, hey, you know what? We celebrate all cultures, but we still expect you to assimilate as an American. Or at least I thought we did. Or at least we should. When you end up with the cultural fragmentation, that is in and of itself a form of suicide. Because countries develop their own cultures. And those cultures are something to be celebrated. Those cultures are something to be recognized. Now, again, we have all sorts of different cultures in this country. Ethnic cultures, religious cultures, societal cultures, political, economic cultures of all sorts. But we still see ourselves, or at least we should see ourselves, singularly as Americans, as citizens of the United States and what that means. All we have to do is look across the Atlantic at what's happening in Germany. Well, I could have picked France, I could have picked the UK, but I picked Germany because of what the vice president said. So what's happening in terms of these lawsuits? Well, hang tight. That's next.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Did you know that over 85% of grass-fed beef sold in America is actually imported? Even when it's labeled product of USA, it often comes from overseas. That means fewer opportunities for our American farmers and more families disconnected from the source of their food. We started Good Ranchers because we wanted to change that. Every cut of beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood we offer is 100% American, sourced directly from local farms and ranches. When you choose Good Ranchers, you're helping preserve the legacy of American agriculture and keeping honest, hardworking families in business. And with every purchase, Good Ranchers donates a portion of the proceeds to paralyzed veterans of America, giving back to our nation's heroes. This is more than meat. It's a mission. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use code RANCH40 to get $40 off your first order, plus free meat for an entire year. That's GoodRanchers.com, code RANCH40 to get $40 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com, American meat delivered.
Hi, Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Workers' compensation cases can move really slowly, and it's frustrating. Don't get pressured into hiring the first law firm you meet with just because they were fast to get you on their schedule. Your case impacts every aspect of your life. You want a local attorney that understands that and will get you the best outcome. Interview Patrick Orman of Gorman Law to see if he is the right attorney and to see if you really need an attorney. He will tell you the truth. Call 530-262-2168 or schedule online at Gorman Comp Law. Consultations and workers' comp are always free.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click Apply Now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest
every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1468.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Get job ready today at Shasta College. Whether you're interested in accounting or agriculture, automotive or nursing, or any of our many other career trainings, our in-demand programs will give you the skills you need for a fulfilling and exciting future career. Planning to transfer? Start here and complete your first 2 years. Then transfer to a CSU or UC with guaranteed placement. And the best part is, all full-time students get 2 years tuition for free. Choose the class format that works for you. In-person, online, hybrid, or 8-week accelerated courses designed for busy adults. You may even qualify for up to $4,000 per semester through our 15 to finish program. Restrictions apply. See a counselor for details. fall semester begins August 18th, so don't wait. Enroll today at ShastaCollege.edu or call 530-242-7650. Your success starts at Shasta College.
Have banned lawmakers representing populist parties on both the left and the right from participating in these conversations.
The comments drew a sharp rebuke from Germany's Defense Minister Boris Pistorius and overshadowed discussions on the war in Ukraine.
Diese Demokratie?
This democracy was called into question earlier by the U.S. Vice President for the whole of Europe. He spoke of the cancellation of democracy, and if I understood him correctly, he compared conditions in parts of Europe with those in authoritarian regimes. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not acceptable.
The clash underlined the divergent worldviews of U.S. President Donald Trump's new administration and European leaders, making it hard for longtime allies, the United States and Europe, to find common ground on issues including Ukraine. The war-torn country's President Volodymyr Zelensky told the conference that he would talk to Russian President Vladimir Putin only once Ukraine had agreed on a common plan with Trump and European leaders.
I will.
You know, how's that been working out so far? And isn't it interesting, the German foreign minister's, defense minister's response? Well, that's not the Germany I know. Well, what about this, Mr. Minister? There are thousands of individuals in Germany that are facing lawsuits for these horrific, horrific crimes of sharing memes, voicing criticisms, or insulting you. Insulting politicians. Now, most of those cases were brought by politicians from the left, the Green Party, the Free Democrats, and the Social Democrat Party. But nonetheless, I mean, it helps reinforce my point that those on the left, the Marxists, have no interest whatsoever in free speech. They have no interest whatsoever in people critically thinking. You know, memes are funny. That oftentimes memes expose a really ugly truth that most people just don't want to face. Politicians hate criticism. They despise criticism. And insulting them? Oh my gosh. You might as well just have your head chopped off if you insult a politician. You know what's interesting? That's part of our DNA. That's kind of what we get. We kind of get our jollies off insulting politicians because they set themselves up so easily to be insulted. But let me give you a case. A pensioner was subjected to a police search and then later sentenced simply for sharing a meme. You know, be careful what you share with me on X because, well, you know, you may end up getting sued. A journalist from a right-wing populist publication got a suspended prison sentence and a fine for posting an image of the former Interior Minister, Nancy Faeser, edited so that she was holding a sign that said, "I hate freedom of speech." Isn't that kind of deliciously ironic? So you get a suspended prison sentence and a fine for posting an image. No, you've seen these pictures. In fact, my advice to you is don't ever let anybody take a photograph of you holding any sort of sign in front of your face, or in front of you, like, you know, just under your neck or in front on your chest, because that can be photoshopped to say anything that they want it to say, whether you say it or not. Just a little friendly advice there. But think about how ironic it is that the former Interior Minister gets really pissed off and so goes to the prosecutors and says, "Look, I didn't say that." Well, first of all, you're a public official. So at least in this country, we could put anything on that stupid piece of paper. We could say anything. We could say that you said anything. But you're a public official. Now you can come out and deny it, but when you start criminalizing speech, and then you go criminalize speech because someone said that you hate freedom of speech. So then you have them prosecuted for exercising freedom of speech. Isn't that the very definition of "I hate freedom of speech"? when you start doing that in your country, which is not just in Germany, it's in the UK, it's in France, and it's coming to a jurisdiction near you too, then you're losing the culture. And you're empowering the state. Because when, for example, when, now, you know, somebody made a comment, because I posted something on X this week, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which received hundreds of millions of dollars from U.S. taxpayers, has announced that, well, since we don't have that money anymore, we're probably going to have to shut down. And I said, welcome to free markets. Welcome to free markets where businesses live and die every single day on the product or the service that they offer to the public. And if you can't sustain your business except for or but for receiving taxpayer subsidies, then you probably don't deserve to be in business. Or if you really want to, if you think your product, in this case, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, if you think that the product that you offer is so wonderful, why aren't you going to your donors and asking them, hey, we're going to lose all this money and have to shut the doors unless you pony up? Why don't you go to advertisers? You know, why don't you change your business model? No, they don't want to do that. They just want to be able to put their propaganda out there funded by taxpayers. Well, they're going to fail. Well, I said, welcome to the free world of free markets. And somebody's response to that was, oh, but don't you work in an industry where the FCC tells you what you can say and not say? No, they don't tell me what I can say and not say. They tell me there's seven words over here that I can't use. And I'm okay. Well, I don't like it. I'm okay with that because we're using public airwaves. So if they don't want me to drop an F-bomb, if they don't want me to say out the word BS, then regulatory agency has a right to do that. Now, if there were a great swell to allow me to say the word bull, you know what? Oh, I'd happily do that. I have no interest in dropping F-bombs, but I do have an interest in using the word bull. You know what? Economically, things look equally bleak in Germany. After a disastrous trade deal between the EU and the Trump administration, Germany's once mighty automotive industry faces another blow amid already collapsing revenues. Well, maybe if they would, you know, quit focusing so much on EVs. You know, I own a German car. I own a BMW. I love that car. Is it over-engineered? Probably so. Sporty as hell. Fun as hell to drive. But now that same company is trying to force, now they're not trying to force me, they're trying to persuade me that, oh, I need to trade that car in. Oh, I'm going to drive that car till it falls apart because it'll go for 200,000 miles or more. I don't want an EV. So I don't care what incentives you throw at me. You've over-manufactured, produced way too many EVs, and now the price of those are dropping because nobody in this country wants it. Even the unions in Germany seem more focused on climate activism and the class struggle than they do their own job security. That's how warped their brains are. Well-paid industrial jobs, they hope, are going to be preserved by the green economy. Well, I'd find something else to hope about. So now, after 5 years, five full years without significant economic growth, any rational politician in Germany ought to be deeply alarmed. Instead, the current chancellor, Merz, touts vague promises that 61 companies are ready to invest about $730 billion in Germany. He seems to hold the misguided view that subsidies alone can salvage what remains of Germany's crumbling economic model. It's a sobering reality, absolute sobering reality, when the vice president of a foreign country from this country appears more concerned about Germany's future and the problems with its own political class than Germans do. And you know why? Because they've created a monster with the German social welfare system, with mass migration into their country, with the adoption of the calamitous green new energy fiasco, and now they're struggling. So what do? Well, we just arrest people for posting memes as opposed to really dealing with the actual problems. Now, why do I spend that much time talking about Germany? look around. Because but for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, and but for the fact that Republicans, look, I don't like everything the Republicans do. I'll criticize them in a New York minute. But right now, they're the bulwark against us becoming another Germany. I'll be right back.
They're pounding on the door. They're calling on the phone. They're threatening to close your business. If debt has your business on the brink, call Ray Reynolds, the godfather of credit. For over 40 years, Ray Reynolds has helped thousands of customers get millions in cash credit. It's no wonder why they call Ray the godfather of credit. He may even be able to raise your score above 750 before the end of the year. You could even get a new personal or business credit line up to $50,000 within days. If your credit needs a rebuild, call Ray Reynolds and receive a $1,000 cash credit card at closing. Raise your credit score to 750 or more. Call Ray Reynolds at 800-627-3749. 800-627-3749. Learn about Ray's secrets to success and how he can fix and improve your credit score to 750 or more. Call the Godfather of Credit Rebuild, Ray Reynolds, at 800-627-3749. 800-627-3749.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. So, speaking of the culture and cultural, you know, degeneration, Kamala Harris appeared on, so the woman that lost to Trump, and the woman that ran through, what, $1 billion and lost an election appeared on a program that loses $40 million a year with a $100 million budget and can't get any ratings as being canceled. Seems like a perfect pair to sit down and talk to each other, right?
You know, when I was a young in my career, I had to defend my decision to become a prosecutor with my family. And one of the points that I made is, why is it then when we think we want to improve a system or change it, that we're always on the outside on bended knee or trying to break down the door? Shouldn't we also be inside the system? And that has been my career. And recently I made the decision that I just, for now, I don't want to go back in the system. I think it's broken.
Well, you were there for 4 years. Isn't it amazing how in 4 years you really did break the system? And Trump's now been in office a little more than 6 months, and he's really kind of straightening out the system. Maybe, you know, Trump was right. We don't need a new law. We just needed a new president, and we got it.
I think there's so many good people who are public servants, who do such good work, teachers and firefighters and police officers and nurses and scientists. And so it's not about them, but, you know, I believe, and I always believed, that as fragile as our democracy is, our systems would be strong enough to defend our most fundamental principles. And I think right now that they're not as strong as they need to be. And I just don't want to, for now, I don't want to go back in the system. I want to travel the country. I want to listen to people. I want to talk with people. And I don't want it to be transactional where I'm asking for their vote.
How's that going to go, do you think? How do you think that'll go? I don't think it's going to go very well. But she's going to write a book.
Months.
Yeah?
Months. You know, I'm just not into self-mutilation. And I just...
Sorry.
Lots of cooking shows.
Oh, good.
Lots of cooking shows.
British Bake Off and stuff like that.
Oh, The Kitchen is one of my favorites.
Oh, amazing. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one question on everyone's mind right now.
Yeah.
How's Doug?
Was that on your list of questions to ask Kamala Harris? How's your husband?
He's really well. Doug is
okay?
Well.
He's okay?
Back practicing law, and he's great. He's great. And
you're
thank
back,
you for asking.
You said he's back practicing law. For a second, I thought you said he's backpacking.
Oh, well.
I thought you said he was backpacking. Oh. She said that everything terrible that was going to happen if she lost to Donald Trump has now happened. So, you know, relatively strong economy and, you know, world peace. But the worst thing is that her fellow Democrats have capitulated somehow to Trump's so-called fascist program of trade protectionism and remaining, you know, renaming everything after himself. Really, what? Of course, she's not running for California governor. Said she probably won't run for president in 2028 either. I don't want to go back into that system because I think it's broken. I think I would say that she's decided that she doesn't want to go back into the system, not because it's broken, but because I simply cannot win. I can't answer questions. I can't do interviews. But she does want people to listen long enough for her to try to get them to buy her new book, 107 Days, which is exactly how long she and her supporters maintain the illusion that she really might become president for 107 days. Her statement was harrowing. While a copy of the book sat there on the desk between her and Stephen Colbert, "I'm always going to be part of the fight," who had just said that she was not going to be part of the fight. Another word salad. In other words, democracy's dead, go buy my book. In other words, democracy's dead, I'm not going to get back in the system. I'm going to go travel around the country. It's not going to be transactional. I'm not going to ask for your vote, but I just want to listen to you. Well, that's good, because we don't want to listen to you. We don't want to listen to any more word salad. California's dodged a bullet. And quite frankly, I think she made the right decision not running for governor of California. Because I think California, if you look what's going on in San Francisco with the new mayor in San Francisco, who has incredible approval ratings, because he simply said, you know what, San Francisco needs to be fixed, and I'm going to fix it. He's a doer, like Trump, and a Republican. And he's coming in there, and he's actually doing stuff, and the approval ratings are soaring. I don't think the Democrats have quite yet figured out that we just want things fixed. We just want things done. No more talking, no more BSing, just actually doing stuff. So she comes on Colbert, a dying program, and says the democracy is dead. I'm no longer be a part of the system. I'm going to travel around the country and just listen, which is kind of like a listening tour. Kind of like, you know, I really do want to go listen. I wonder whether she'll go to Iowa. Because if she goes to Iowa, if she goes to New Hampshire, you know she's running. But it's not going to be transactional. The only transaction that she's engaged in right now is she wants you to buy her book. Are you going to buy her book? You know, I told my weekday audience that when Jake Tapper came out with his book about the Biden presidency and how he really was out of it and really wasn't running the country, I didn't want to spend a nickel on it. So I bought the book, took very good care of it, and then returned it to Barnes & Noble and got my money back. But in this case, I don't even want to spend the time doing it. I don't even want to spend the time reading. I mean, first of all, I'd like to know who wrote the book with her, because I can't imagine her putting together whatever is in the 107 days. I don't know that she could put those words together in any sort of coherent manner. So maybe, just maybe, we can write Kamala off as she had her 107 days. Some people get 15 minutes. She got 107 days, and now we've been saved. Hang tight. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text lines open 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. I'll be back after the news.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even Porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
If you're stuck in a timeshare you no longer want, call the experts at Lone Star Transfer. They will help you with a guaranteed solution to exit your timeshare. For the past 15 years, Lone Star Transfer, a family-owned company, has helped over 30,000 owners break free. With an A-plus rating at the BBB and thousands of five-star reviews, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you can trust to deliver real results. For a free consultation, call 844-284-4739 or visit LoneStarTransfer.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the building? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.